We begin the current daf. Masechtas Bechor is daf vav. Begin third line is daf of the top of the amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf from the top of our amud, where the Gemara had two different interpretations for the halacha of our Mishnah regarding how do we know that nidma, a creature that's the firstborn that looks different than its parent, that it's exempt from the laws of Bechoris, both by the kosher animals, which the Mishnah later on to have tesayin, and regarding the non-kosher animals, that of petach chamar and the halacha of our Mishnah. So the Tanavah Mishnah explicitly said, we know it from Petach Hamar, says two times the word Petar, coming to exclude the halacha of that has to be specifically the mother and the child has to be like a donkey, but not if it looks like a different creature. Rishab said Glili, as Rabbi Huda had taught, learns it from a different source, where it says Bechar, three times by the kosher firstborn animals, to say that each one has to be like its mother. So on that the Gemara asks, so what does Rabbi Yisrael Glili do with Petach Hamar of the town of our Mishnah, he knows it from Bechar. So it says, as the top of our Amud had elaborated on, needs to say that the Loch is specifically Petach Hamar, only that which comes out from the firstborn of a donkey, but that which comes out of, although another Pasuk says, Habehema Tzemeya, but it's specifically only that of a Chamar that's going to have the laws of a Petach Hamar of the firstborn, but not any other non-kosher animals not going to have the Halach. So that's our Gemara continues, says, okay, but Tana Didat, so the Tana of our Mishnah, Lemu'ute Susum Gemala Manoli, how does he know to exclude donkeys, the camels, and horses from the laws of the firstborn if he doesn't have extra the second time Petach Hamar, because he's already using it like we learned in our Mishnah, to say that the mother and the child has to be a donkey, excluding that of Nidma when it appears like a different one. So where would he know? He can't use the extra word Petar if he's learning it for that, to say that it's excluding that halach of Petar of coming out of the womb of Kedushas Bechar to exclude other non-kosher animals. So my puppy knows it from a different source. The Pasuk says, Kol miknecha tizachar, all from your flock that will be a male will have the firstborn. If the firstborn is a male, will have the laws of Kedushas Bechar. Now that's a klal, that's a general statement saying any from your flock. Then it says, when it talks about, so what type of kosher animals, it specifies. Shur, besev, chamor, it says specifically an ox, a sheep, or a donkey. That's prat, that's a specific. So in one of the Yid Gama Midas Shatern Jeshebhen is klal uprat. You have a general statement, including everything. You have a specific, only these. The halacha is ema klal el mashav prat. What's included in the general category is only what's in the specific, which tells you, shur v'sev v'chamar, in, yes, the only one that's included is ox, sheep, and donkeys, midachrin yalai, but nothing else. Which means, even the other non-kosher animals are not included in when it says, habehema tamei tifta, that is specifically only in the specific over here, which is that of a chamar. Now, but Rabbeisik Lili, he would tell you that no, and that's why he had to learn it out from Petach Hamar two times. He says, Peter, this that it says the firstborn of the donkey, Hifsika Inyan, this that it adds on the word Peter, is interposing to say that no, you can't learn this as which was excluding other non-kosher animals from the laws of the firstborn as a klal prat, says because this where it says in the pasuk tizachar kol miknecha tizachar, it says peter sher b'seh. Then the next pasuk says u petach hamar tifte b'seh. If you would think this of the donkeys going back on the first pasuk, and then to okay, so they're all included as a klal from the previous pasuk and then prat, but the thing is the previous pasuk already said peter sher b'seh, so it should have just continued v'chamar tifte b'seh, and we would know it's talking about peter because going back on the previous pasuk because it's part of the klal and the prat. The fact that it specifies in the next pasuk again the word Peter by the Chamar, obviously it's not a continuation of the previous pasuk to learn it as that's a klal and that this is a prat of that klal. So on that Rabbanan, they would tell you that no, Vav, it says U Peter and the Peter had the Arvikra. So the pasuk is then remixing it again and it is going back in the previous pasuk because anytime you have a Vav and it says it's coming to continue what it said before. So it is a prat of the previous klal and therefore it is what's excluding other non-kosher animals. But for basic Lili, he would tell you if it's going back in the previous pasuk, loy lichtiv loy vav v'loy peter. It shouldn't have said peter to stop, which is an interposition. Is like because if it's a continuation, don't say peter. We know it's going back on peter shar, and so if it's not stopping, you wouldn't need a vav to go out and mix it back together again. From the fact that it says just don't say anything, then we would know it's continuation. From the fact that it says peter is that it's not going back, and therefore you can't learn that as a klal prad to exclude other non-kosher animals. But Rabbanan, they would tell you that no. Aydi the Hakadusha's Dam and Hakadusha's Agov, there are different types of sanctity. The sanctity of the firstborn donkey is only a monetary sanctity, because that's not what's actually brought as the matana of the kain as Kedusha. It's actually redeemed with a sheep, and that's given to the kain. Whereas the other two, the kosher animals, the shur and the seh, they have physical sanctity. So they have a pasuk, therefore the pasuk wants to go ahead and separate them, and therefore it says Petr separately with that of Chamar, so not to put in the same pasuk, in the same category. But then the Vav goes and mixes it back together again to say that, yes, there is a connection, and therefore to learn it as a klal prat, and therefore according to Rabbanan, you could go ahead and learn from here an exclusion of the other non-kosher animals, that they don't have the Kedushas Bechor at all. Now, continuing on this topic, regarding what we had been speaking about in the previous stuff, we had the halacha of our Mishnah, we had a Mishnah later on, Dev Tazayin, which we're saying mainly the same idea, which is regarding Nidmeh, if the child is not the same as the parent, whether it be in the non-kosher animal of our Mishnah, of the Petach Hamar, or that regarding the kosher animals of the Sher and Seh, then there's no laws of Bechair. But then we also have in that Mishnah, which said that, which we're speaking about the kosher animals, if the child is not the same as the parent, so there's not going to be, but if it's similar in some elements, then they will have the Kedushas Bechair. So now you boil over the following question. That halacha was said specifically on those Mishnayos regarding the kosher animals. What's the halacha regarding the halacha of our Mishnah? Parash yol b'minchamar. Let's see the first case of our Mishnah. If a cow gives birth to a creature that looks like a donkey. So we said in the Mishnah that that's not going to have the law of Kedushas Bechair. But what's if v'yesh b'miktas simon? And what's if that child-looking firstborn that looks like a donkey has somewhat of an appearance like its mother, like a cow? Ma, what would the halacha be? So what's the question? Regarding those halachas that we learned it, that when it's similar somewhat, that it does have Kedushas Bechair, in the Mishnah Tezayin, that was talking about by a goat, let's say, that gives birth to a creature like a sheep. Or a sheep that gives birth to a creature that looks like a goat. Yeah, that's where we learned that if it has somewhat of a similarity to its parent, it will be obligated in the laws of the firstborn, because the hotaira of a hotaira. Both the mother and the child, although they're different, but they're both kosher animals. Each one, if they were a firstborn, they would have a physical sanctity. So therefore, that's why, if it has some similarities, okay, it's going to be enough to be mechayved b'bechayr. But over here in the case of our Mishnah, the hotamei of atayra, the parent is a kosher animal, the child appears like a non-kosher animal. Hakadusha zagav v'hakadusha damim. That is, the parent has physical sanctity, and the child would have the monetary sanctity of the firstborn of, if it was a donkey, because that's what it appears like. So maybe over there, even though it has some similarity to the parent, it wouldn't have the Kedushas Bechair. Since ultimately, both the parent, which is a cow, and the child, which looks like a donkey, would have a Kedushas of Bechair, albeit this one kosher and this one non-kosher, this one physical sanctity, this one monetary sanctity. So then Kaddish, then yes, since it's somewhat similar, then it would be sanctified. Says the Gemara further, then if you're going to say regarding that question, okay, keeping the idvi mikdash b'bechair, okay, since ultimately both have a bechair sanctity, so then kaddish, then if it has similar characteristics, it will be sanctified. What's with the next case of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said chamor shiyol min sus. Talk about a donkey that gives birth to a creature that looks like a horse. So it's in the Mishnah doesn't have the kedushas bechair. But what's if it has somewhat of a similarity? Ma wad alocha be over there. Here the child is not even something that has a Bechairah sanctity. It's a horse. Oh, it appears like a horse. So maybe then it would not have, even though it has similar characteristics to the mother, Kedushas Bechairah. Maybe no. Kivan, since ultimately both the parent and the child are similar, both of them are non-kosher creatures, so therefore it's not such a deviation. And therefore, since if it would have some similarities to the mother, then Kaddish, it would be sanctified. Moreover, im tim tzalim, and if you're going to say, okay, fine, kimin demin temeyuhu kadosh, since ultimately the child, a horse, but it's similar to the parent in that it's a non-kosher species like the mother, so it would be sanctified if it has similar characteristics in Kedushas Bechair, then parashiyol demin susmahu, what would be the case if a cow gave birth to a horse-looking creature? Hacha vaday hotahir vatameyuhu, here they're totally different. The parent is kosher, the child looks like non-kosher. Moreover, the parent is something that has a Bechair sanctity, if it was the firstborn. The child is a horse, doesn't even have not physical, not monetary sanctity of a firstborn. So therefore, it would not be included, even if it had similar characteristics to its mother. Maybe then, no, Simon and Milsahi. That is, the fact that it shares similar characteristics to the parent, even though it's very, very different than the parent, as we just pointed out, but the fact that it has some similar characteristics, it would be obligating Kedushas Bechair. So regarding these three questions, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring a raya from the following brisa. The brisa says behemet tahira, a kosher animal, shayolda min behemet tamei, that gives birth to a non-kosher looking creature. Says the brisa, peturim in the bechair, like we learned in our Mishnayos, that's exempt from the laws of bechair. Now, im yesh b'miktzah simana, but if it has some similar characteristics to the parent, chayeves b'bechair, it's going to be obligated in the laws of bechair. Says the Gemara, my love, isn't it saying a filip parasha yolda minsus? It's saying kosher that gives birth to non-kosher. So seemingly would be even if it's a cow that gives birth to something that looks like a horse, which obviously, even though they're very different, but the fact that it has somewhat similar characteristics obligates it, and for sure the other cases that are not even so dissimilar, which for sure be obligated in Kedushas Bechor. So that answers all three questions. Says the Gemara, no. It could be talking about a case, parasha yolda min chamar, a cow that gives birth to a creature that looks like a donkey. Since they do have similarities, that both of them have a sanctity of Bechor. So when there's some similar characteristics, then there's going to be an obligation, but you cannot prove from there more than just that case. So the Gemara says, Tashem, let's try to bring a different raya. Brisa says, Parasha yolda min chamar, if a cow gives birth to a donkey-looking creature, or if a chamar yolda min sus, or if a donkey gives birth to a horse-looking creature, Peturim in the Bechayra, that's the law of Nidma, that's exempt from the laws of the firstborn. Now, im yesh bay mixa simonim, but if some of the characteristics are similar, chayevis be Bechayra, so it's obligated in Bechayra, so it says the Gemara, my love at tarvayu, isn't this that it says that if this mixa simonim that is similar, that both of these cases that we describe would be obligated mechayr. So now we're not only proving one case of par shiyolda min chamar, but even chamar shiyolda min sus, where even though the child doesn't even have, wouldn't have a mechayr kedusha at all, still if it's the child of a chamar and it has similar characteristics, that it would be chayv. So the Gemara, no. This that it says in yesh bay mikzus simon mischayvus mechayr is a par shiyolda min chamar. It's going in the first case of a cow that gives birth to a donkey-looking creature. And that's because both of them have a Kedushas Bechor. So says the Gemara, wait. So aval chamar shiyolda min sus. So then the other case regarding a donkey that gives birth to a horse-looking creature. So l'mai katani la. So what was the Braisa teaching it for? Obviously you're saying it was l'ptura. Only regarding to tell us that since it's nidma, it doesn't look the same. It looks like a different creature. Oh, so it's going to be exempt from the laws of Bechor when it doesn't have any similar characteristics. So it's because of the case of the reisha that we said, that regarding the first thing that we said, chamer sheyolda min sus, but regarding the law of the sefer, that when it has similar characteristics, for that it wasn't taught. Says the Gemara, so but that, if that's what we're teaching in that case, that's pshita, that's obvious. Because hashta, if we have the other case of the braisa, uma par sheyolda min chamer, if it already told us, regarding a cow that gives birth to a donkey-looking creature, where both of them have somewhat of a Bechor status, one Kedushas Damim, one Kedushas Aguf, and still, Amrit, you said, only if Yesh Bei Mikzus Simonim in, only if it has some similar characteristics, then it's going to be Kaddish Bei Bechor, V'loi Loi, but if it doesn't, then it's going to be totally exempt, that's the law of Nidma. So Chamer Sheyolda Min Sus Mibayis, so regarding if a donkey gives birth to a horse-looking creature, do we have to say that it's going to be Nidma and be exempt? If you're saying it's going into other law to say that it's going to be chayv mikzus siman, we know why it's being said. But if you're saying that no, there actually would be pater, and it's actually regarding the law of nidma that's saying that it's pater, of course it's going to be pater. It's worse off even than the case of parashiyol the min chamar. So it's going to be no itzruch. It was necessary to say that actually it's going to be pater, but it's not telling us regarding the halach of if it has mikzus siman that would be chayv, because sugga daitach you would think to say. Hasam hu the yeshlo karnayim, meaning by the case of para sheyolda min chamar, yeah, the reason why, if there's no similarities, that it's going to be exempt of the law of nidma, is because hasam hu the yeshlo karnayim, the mother has horns, cow, the ox, v'hoyin lo karnayim, but the child, the donkey, doesn't have horns. Ha parsa seh sedukos, the mother has split hooves, v'ha parsa seh klutis, the child is a donkey-looking creature, it's not split hooves, it's together. So therefore, it's very different. So therefore, yeah, it's going to be exempt. Aval hacha, but in the case of when the donkey gives birth to a horse-looking creature, the idvi with both of them, and look, kanayim, they both don't have horns. Idvi parses klutis, both of them have closed hooves. So emer chamar adam ba'almuhu, I would tell you it's a red donkey, and the reason why I'm saying a red donkey because generally horses have a red complexion. So therefore, I would have thought to say that even though it looks like a donkey, that even though it looks like a horse. But it's just a red donkey, and therefore actually we would have thought that it would be chayv bebechera. Kamash malan, that's where the teacher that it's pot, and therefore we have not resolved regarding the other two cases. The only case that we resolved was regarding the para that gives birth to a min chamar, that then if it's mixed among them, that then would be chayv. But we haven't learned regarding the other cases if it would be chayv or if it would be very different than the halacha that we'd mentioned of the Mishnah Tazayin, which both are kaddish and both have kosher animals, that there it's going to mix among them chayv. But regarding these cases, we haven't resolved that question. Now the Mishnah said, "Umahin ba'achila." So we spoke about this. If the child looks different than the parents, so they said, "What's the halacha if a child looks different, an animal than the parent regarding consumption?" So chulu, we said that depends. If it comes from a kosher animal, even if the child looks non-kosher, you could eat it. If it comes from a non-kosher, you can't. So the Gemara says, "Lomad l'misna shayetzah." Why do we need this explanation? We already said behemet tyra that gives birth to him in behemet tamei yilad eat it. Tamei shealdikim in behemet tyra is asa bechila. And then the Mishnah says, "Ah, shayetzim the tamei tamei beyetzim the tartar." Why do you have to say that for? That seems unnecessary. So the Gemara, you're right. Simana ba'amahu deloy tichleflach. It's just a mnemonic. It's just a sign to recall that you shouldn't mix up the text of our Mishnah. Deloy tema, don't say that, oh, zil basri the day. You would have thought to say that go based on the child and say, yeah, even a kosher mother gives birth to something that looks non-kosher, but this looks non-kosher, it's forbidden. And a non-kosher gives birth to something that looks kosher, you would think it's permitted. So you would say, v'hai tamalyu, this is a kosher animal. V'hai tamalyu, and this is a non-kosher animal. No, that's what the Mishnah is coming to remind you, elazil basar imes, to remind you that whatever it comes out from is the determining factor. Whatever the parent is, that's going to tell you if the parent's kosher, you could eat the child, and if the parent's not, you cannot. On that halacha, says Gemara Manamili, where do we know that the defining character is the parent, even if the child looks like a non-kosher animal? Says Gemara Tanabon, could learn a braisa. Pasuk says in Yikra, ach ezeloi teichlo, however, this you shouldn't eat. From those that bring up its chew its cud, bring up its cud, and those that have split hooves. Now the simple translation of the pasuk is that's coming to say that from these two characteristics, the following, they don't have both. And those are those that are not kosher. However, the simple reading of the pasuk sounds like that these are those that have mali ger mafrisa parasa, which are the two signs of a kosher animal that you cannot eat. So it sounds like, says the Braisa, Yesh l'chashu maligir umafris parsa v'yata ichle. Sounds like that there's a creature that has the two signs of a kosher animal, as chews its cud, and it has split hooves, and you still can't eat it. The Ezezem, which one is that? That's a tahar, so to speak, a kosher-looking animal, shenoyle minatame, that's born from a non-kosher animal. Like we're saying, goes based on the mother. So even though it looks kosher, but the mother is not, so therefore you can't eat it. And that says the Braisa, Ayena Ela, or maybe no, maybe the way you interpret the Pasig is Tameh Hanulib and Hatar. We're talking about what can you not eat. If it's a non-kosher, meaning the opposite, which if it's a non-kosher animal, it's born from a kosher animal. So even though the mother is kosher, but you go based on the child. And Umay Malagir Mafrisa Pasig, how we would interpret the Pasig that we're talking about you can't eat a creature that chooses cud or has split hooves. What do you mean? We're talking about that it doesn't have. We're talking about a Tameh Hanulib and Hatar. That the Gemara, the Braisa continues, Amid Beis, Hachikam, this is what the Pasuk would be saying. Dava haba mimalagir mefrisa parasa. A creature that comes even from something that chews its cud and has split hooves, like the case we're describing, a non-kosher animal that's born from a kosher animal, that's what maybe I would say, Loi teichel, the Torah is telling you that you cannot eat. So that says the Torah of the Braisa, Tamalim, as the Pasuk teaches, when it talks about the non-kosher animals, says gamal a camel, and it continues, says tamehu, it's not kosher. Now, generally, when we're talking about a camel, generally a camel is born from a female camel. And it's saying, who? This, which is this specific in saying, who tame? It's only that type of situation when it's going to be considered, quote, non-kosher. Vein tame hanol benatar, but not when you have a non-kosher animal born from a kosher, where, for example, let's say its mother was a cow, tame, that then it's not going to be considered non-kosher. Elatar, rather than it's going to be considered kosher. That's how we know the halacha, that we go based on the mother. If the mother's kosher, the child is kosher. Mother's non-kosher, the child's considered non-kosher. Now, however, Pshim Naimi, he disagrees. He says, Gamal Gamal Shneipam. It says in the Torah two times, one in Torah's Kanim, the Yikra, and one in Mishnah Torah and Devarim, says the prohibition of eating a camel. What's it coming to add on? Echad Gamal Hanulim and a Gamal. You're right, one is saying that in the classic case of when the camel is born from a mother camel, but the Echad Gamal Hanulim and a par. The other one is saying even a camel that's born from a cow is going to be forbidden, and he disagrees and he says that even if the mother is kosher, the child, if it looks like a camel, is going to be forbidden. Now, Rabbanon, Hi, Gamal, Gamal, my Avdali. What do they do with the second time camel? They don't come to include if the mother is a cow that it's prohibited. They say it's permitted. So what's the second one coming to include? So says the Gemara, Chad lesser atzmai. One's coming to say that the camel itself is forbidden. That's the first time. V'chad lesser chalavai. And the second mention is to say that even the milk from a camel is also going to be forbidden. Now, Reb Shimon, lesser chalbe menali. Where does he know that the milk from a camel is also forbidden? Says the Gemara, Nafkele me es hagamai. It learns out where it says the camel, the S. Sounds like something what's called secondary, what's a tuffle to the camel, which is its milk, but that's also forbidden like the camel itself. But Rabbanan, esem loydarshi, they couldn't learn it out from the extra word es, because they don't expound the word es to tell you a drasha, an exposition, as if it's teaching halacha. Ketan, like we learned in the Braisa, where Shimon HaMsayni HaYudarish called es ve'esha b'ter. Shimon HaMsayni, he expounded every time the Torah said the word es, it's coming to include something. Now, Kivan Shagil Es Hashem Lakecha Tibur, when he reached the Pasig in Devarim, that Hashem your God you should fear, so Pirish, he pulled back, He pulled back from all the expositions he had made whenever he said that the word S comes to include something, because he says, here there's nothing to include. Fearing God, what's in the same category as God to say that's included and that you have to fear? So he said that, you're right, obviously the word S is not coming to include. Now, Amar Lo, they said to him, Talmidav, his student said to him, but Rabbi, our teacher, call S and Shadarash to Matelem, you expounded every S in the Torah, now what are you going to do with all those expositions that you learned out laws from, that S is coming to include something? Amalehem, he said to them, Kshem Shekibalti Schar Aladrisha, just like I received a reward for expounding those Essen, because that was in my pursuit of interpreting the Torah, Kachanim Mekabal Schar Aladrisha, so too I'll receive reward now for separating and backing out, because that's the pursuit of truth. It obviously is nothing to include, and therefore it must be that that's a mistaken notion of expounding the Essen, of including something. Achabo Rebbe Kiva of Elimit, until Rebbe Kiva actually came and he taught, Es Hashem Lekechati, when it says, Es Hashem, that your God you should fear, what's the S coming to include? L'rabbis Tamid Chacham, that comes to include Talmudic scholars that have the Torah, which is it's the same as Hashem in that concept, and therefore that would be included in fearing. But one thing is that the Rabban held like Shem and Amsayni that says obviously you don't interpret the word S, and therefore they couldn't learn enough from Esa Gamal, and therefore they know it from the fact that it says two times the word Gamal. Now, however, on the previous Gemara, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Acha Berei D'Rav L'Ravashi, says, wait, El Me'ata. But based on what we said up until now, it sounds like, okay, time of the Rabbanan, the reason why the Rabbanan said that the milk of a camel is forbidden to eat, mi gamal gamal, because it says the second time the word gamal. And Reb Shimon me'es agamal, he knows it because it says the word es. But it sounds like halav hachi, but if not these drushes, havimina, I would have said, sounds like, that chalav de behemet tumei ashari, that the milk from a non-kosher animal is permitted. Says the Gemara, but ma'ishna ma'ad tanya, why is it any different from the pasuk that says hatameim? Where it says, Eila Temeim Lechem Mechol Sheretz, when it talks about all those that are forbidden to be consumed, that of the vermin, which are not kosher, there's extra hay, Ha Temeim, the non-kosher ones. What's the hay coming to say? It says, the Braisa Lesed, Sirin is coming to say that even the fats of the non-kosher fish, V'reitfon, and it's gravy, V'kipishalen, and the small little piece that falls to the bottom of the pot, that those are all secondary, that those are also forbidden to eat from the non-kosher species. So the milk is no different. It also comes from non-kosher species. Obviously, it's forbidden. Why do we need these drushes to say that milk is forbidden? It says Gemara, no, itzrecha was necessary. Why? Salgadai d'chmini, you would have thought to say, Hayil d'behemet tahira na mechidishu, even the milk of a kosher animal is a novelty to say that it's permitted to drink milk from a kosher animal. Why? Because the Amamara, the master said in Masech Tesnid Dav Tesem and Aleph, that dam, the blood of a menstruating woman, neker, the blood congeals, v'nasa chalav, and it then transforms into where a woman, when she's not pregnant, doesn't have, when she doesn't give birth, she doesn't have milk. Where does the milk come from? It's the blood in her body that congeals and transforms into milk. Now, v'kivin the chiddushu, now that's obviously a novelty because beforehand it was blood. And actually whoever would eat it would get a punishment of courage and now they eat blood. And now by a cow, let's say, where it's permitted, so bebehemet temeya nami lishteri. So even by a non-kosher animal, we'd say, okay, the whole halacha is a chiddush in itself. So therefore, even by a kosher animal, we would think not. But still milk is permitted, so maybe it should even be permitted by a non-kosher animal. Therefore, kamashmal, that's what you have to teach it, either with gamal gamal or esa gamal, to say that no, even the milk of a non-kosher animal is going to be forbidden. But says the Gemara, Hanich Lamandama, but this interpretation only works well according to the one that says that how does a nursing woman have milk is because Dam Nekar B'Nasa Chalav, which we're saying that relationship to the animal too, that also then gets milk from its udders, is Dam Nekar B'Nasa Chalav, that the blood congeals and then it turns into milk. But according to the one that says that actually it's a different mechanism that happens, is that her limbs get dislodged because of the birth, they nafsha, and her soul, meaning her blood, is not chayzerasala, does not return to her, ad esen v'arbor chaydesh, does not fully recuperate until 24 months, 2 years after childbirth. Now that's why a nursing woman doesn't see damnida, not because the blood gets transformed into milk. So if that's the case, so since the milk doesn't come from blood, so it's not a novelty that milk is permitted, so Michael Mamer, we're back to the question, so what are you going to say? Obviously, what comes out of a non-kosher animal is forbidden. And don't say, oh, because milk from a kosher animal is a chiddush, like we see that it's really blood that's turning into milk. It's not blood turning into milk. So, of course, milk is permitted from a kosher animal. So, it's not a chiddush. So then, why do we have to tell you that from a non-kosher animal that it's going to be prohibited? Says Gemara, no, still itzrach, it was necessary. You would have thought to say, there's nothing that comes from a living creature that the Torah says forbidden is permitted to be eaten. It's forbidden. Yet Milk that comes out of a living creature is like something that's coming out, like a limb coming from a living creature, and still Vashari, Torah permits one to drink milk from a cow, even though it's a living creature. So the Hilkach, and therefore Philip Behemet Tamei Lishtari, so therefore I would have thought to say that even the non-kosher animal should be permitted, again the same idea that it's a chiddush. Kamash Balan, therefore I have to tell you that the milk from a non-kosher animal, like a gamal, is going to be prohibited. Now, but now the Gemara goes and asks, so Bechal of the Behemet Tayyar Manel and Deshari, so actually how do we know that the milk from a kosher animal is permitted? How do we know? It is a chiddush. It's really coming from blood, or it's really Eber Menachai. So how do we know that it's permitted? Says the Gemara. If you're going to say, because the Torah says a mixture of meat and milk is prohibited to eat. Now, obviously the inference is, but by itself, you're allowed to go ahead and consume meat or milk. So you see, it's permitted. Says the Gemara, no, that's not a proof. Because I could really tell you that milk by itself is also bechile. It's forbidden to be eaten. But a mutaba no, but it's permitted to have benefit from milk. But basa b'chalav b'anah nami aser. Basa b'chalav has three halachas. It's forbidden to be eaten, forbidden to have benefit, and to cook. So maybe that's what the Torah came to forbid basa b'chalav, to say that even prohibition of benefit. But maybe eating milk you can't even eat by itself. And even though the Reb Shimon did shari b'anah, even according to Reb Shimon that says basa b'chalav is actually permitted to have benefit, as the Gemara says later on in the parak, Dav Yodam and Aleph, still meshkachas lev, by him you could even find that it would still be necessary to say the prohibition of basa b'chalav, even though we could say that milk by itself is prohibited, it still would be necessary to say lemilki al bishuleha, to say that one gets lashes for cooking the meat and milk. But maybe the eating, maybe even milk by itself is prohibited. Ella rather says the Gemara, the source is mendigali rachmanid de bepsuli hamagdashin. Since the Torah reveals to us by carbonus that became invalidated, the pasuk tells us, what do you do with that carbon that was invalidated and then redeemed? It says, "Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'echal t'basar." However, whatever your heart's desire, you could do with this animal. You could slaughter it. You could eat its meat. And that's regarding an animal that was a carbon that became invalidated, but then was subsequently redeemed. Which the drasha tells us, why is it specified tizbach you could slaughter it? It says, "But v'leigiza," but you can't share the wool. When it says Basra could eat its meat, which tells us Bavalei Chalav, you cannot go ahead and use it for its milk. The inference is that's by Psulim Mikdashin, but Hadachul and Shari, that obviously infers that, however, in general, by an unconsecrated animal, that then the milk is permitted. Says the Gemara, that's not a proof. Ve'ema say, the Chulin Asa Bachila, I can really tell you that milk generally is forbidden to be eaten. But Bashari Ba'na, like we said before, but it's permitted to have benefit from it. The Kachim Ba'na, Nami Yasser. All it's telling us is that by Kachim, that were psuli, that then you could use its meat, is, however, not only is this milk forbidden to be eaten, but it's even forbidden to have benefit from it. And therefore, there's no proof that in general milk is permitted. Sela Rather says the Gemara Medechsev. The proof is from a Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk says, V'dei chalev izam lalachmacha, that sufficient milk of goats for your bread, for your sustenance, lechem meisecha, for the sustenance of your household, v'chaim lenarasecha, and life to your youth. So you see that for a person's sustenance, they're going to have milk. So you see milk is permitted to be eaten. Says the Gemara, but v'dim l'scher, maybe the Pasuk is promising that you can have milk to use for business, to be able to sell to a non-Jew. But who said it's permitted for a Jew to eat? So Ella Rather says, Gemara Medechsev from a different pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, says, Ve'asaseres charitzei achalam, that the 10 cakes of cheese that Yishai said to his son David to bring it to the general of the 1,000 troops at war. So you see that cheese, which comes from milk, is permitted to be eaten. Says Gemara B'dimol Eschayrim. Again, maybe it's being used for business, for commerce, and not to be eaten. So that the Gemara answers, no, atru darker shal mochama l'scher, what you're seeing in war, people are doing business, with who? With the enemy, with the non-Jews? Obviously it was being given for them to eat, and therefore you see that cheese which comes from milk, and milk is permitted to be eaten. If you want, you can bring a different source, a pasuk in Shemais. The pasuk says that when it praises the land of Eretz Yisrael, it calls it Eretz Zavas Cholav Devash, the land that flows milk and honey. Now, ve'iloi d'shari, if milk is not permitted to be eaten, mishtabech lon krab mid lechazi, what, we're going to praise our land with something that's not even fit for a person to eat? Obviously, it's permitted to drink milk. And ve'ibay say, if you want, you can bring a source and hear a pasuk in Yeshaya. It said, l'chu shivru v'achlu, go buy and eat, or l'chu shivru b'lei kesem, go buy without money, u'b'loi mechir, without a price, yayin mechalav, wine and milk, and you see, therefore, that it's for a person to eat, to buy and to eat milk, you see that milk is permitted to be eaten. Now, the Gemara goes back on what we mentioned before, Elamanata, but if that's the case that we said, okay, so we know that generally milk is permitted, and then we need a source to say that the milk of a non-kosher animal is forbidden, because ultimately there is a level of chiddush in milk, and you would have thought it's permitted even a non-kosher animal. So he said, both according to Rabban and Reb Shimon, they both interpret the word gamal for different things. Either it's coming to say that the milk is prohibited, or it's coming to say a different halacha regarding the gamal hanoilim and apara, but something is being learned out from the extra word gamal. So now the Gemara asks, well then, Gamal, camel, is not the only one that's repeated twice in the Torah. You have Shafin, you have Arnevis, you have Chazir, you have all these animals that are also repeated twice. What is being expounded? You think Lahanihud also? You think they're coming to be expounding in Halacha related to those animals themselves? No, there's nothing that is teaching us and repeating it a second time. Elikatanya, rather it's like we learned in the following Brisa. Says in the Brisa, Lama Nishnu Bebehema, why did the Torah repeat twice in the Torah teaching us which animals are kosher, which ones are not kosher? Says the Brisa, Memne HaShasua, because I wanted to teach you a chiddush regarding specifically one of the types of animal called a shasua, which is a creature that has two backs and two spines, which wasn't said in Torah's kind. And we wanted to tell you regarding that animal. And so to Uba Eifis, regarding the birds, why to repeat it a second time, is Memne Ra'ah, because I wanted to tell you regarding a Ra'ah that it didn't tell you the first time in when the Torah mentioned it. So therefore, ask the Gemara, if that's why I repeated all those things, which the common dictum is, it's only repeated Memne Dabash and Eschadish Ba, it's just because I wanted to say one novelty, so I repeated everything a second time. So then Gamal Gamal Namir Lachidasa, so then the repetition of camel was also only said incidentally because we wanted to say one more Chiddush. So then how are we saying that it's teaching us either that the milk is prohibited or that even a camel, the son of a cow, is prohibited? How do you know that? Says the Gemara, Kol Hecha De'ikol Midrash Darshina, no. You're right. We could say that it was said seemingly superfluous just because I wanted to say something regarding the Shasua, but if we could expound something, then we will, and therefore, both Reb Shimon and Rabban say there is something to learn that from the repetition of Gamal, again, either to say that its milk is forbidden, or even Gamal Ben Para, and therefore we do expound, although yes, all the other ones that repeated, there's nothing intrinsically for them that we're darshaning, it's rather because we wanted to tell you the halacha of the Shasua.